I'm here today with Jeff Ordonez from 7predictedDisasters.com. He's an author, researcher, and Bible teacher indeed. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you very much, Vinny. It is a privilege to be with you on the show today. Thank you.
Now, can we ascertain just a little bit about yourself and what is 7predictedDisasters.com really talking about here?
Sure, absolutely. I've been an author and researcher and Bible teacher for approximately the last 15 years, but have been researching world religions for about the last 25 years. And over the last, I would say probably 10 or 15 years since I've been teaching and studying the Bible, what I've come to find out is that a lot of the ancient scriptures really hold a lot of mysteries and secrets that is not revealed to the general public. But in watching this recent trend about people preparing for some cataclysmic event, some people in my office under my leadership, we decided to put together a research based around this doomsday scenario. And what we found was just absolutely astonishing. It startled me so much that I decided to really stay quiet for almost 2 weeks. It was only until recently that I decided to come public with this information, so I've been going around the United States from talk show to talk show, exposing this information that's hidden away in the ancient scriptures. And I guess we're going to talk about it tonight, aren't we?
Yeah. In the end, everything comes back to the beginning. Have you noticed how so many things that were done and written down so long ago are almost more relevant today than they were back then?
Absolutely. It just seems like we go in cycles. Many of these predictions seem to actually be reoccurring throughout humanity, human's history. They just seem to progressively get worse and worse and worse throughout our history.
Kind of like circling the drain, as it were.
Pretty much, yeah. You see, you hit it right on the nail.
So think about this. Is the world going to end on December 21st? And if it doesn't, how will that change what we say and think about it? Have you noticed a whole lot of people are rushing around? You know, me personally and a lot of other people I know, we all just seem to be having December 21st parties. Yay, it's the end of the world. Excuse to get really debaucherously wasted.
Yeah, you know, December 21st, you know, there's a lot of information, misinformation, disinformation, information overload about December 21st. You know, to be honest with you, I mean, there isn't much to go on. What the Mayans have predicted, you know, you really can't pinpoint any specific prediction that they were correct on, so you really don't have a way to say, you know, here's the past, this is what they predicted, and here's the future, what they're predicting into the future. So, you know, there isn't much value there, but when you look at a book like the Bible, for example, where you've got 2,000 predictions, and you've got a situation where you can look back into historical accounts, and then all of a sudden you can realize, well, wait a second, 2,000 of those predictions have been fulfilled without error. Well, that's pretty amazing.
Sorry, how many?
2,000.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bible actually contains 2,498 predictions total. And 2,000 have already been fulfilled, so there's about 498 left.
And they will, so they're not all going to be fulfilled in the next couple of days, are they?
You know, that's the thing. There is no way to know the exact date of when they will begin. However, what we found out is that there are specific events to look for, okay, that will converge simultaneously. And when those events begin to converge simultaneously, that's when you begin to prepare. And that's what caused me to stay quiet for almost 2 weeks.
Right.
So during our investigation, we found out that there are seven major predicted disasters that are looming. Unlike any other time in human history, the events, the social events, the political events, the economic events, the natural events are now all unfolding exactly as predicted. But it isn't like any other time. You see, because you can go back in the 60s and 70s, and you can look at the historical records, and you could see that there were riots back then, and there were, you know, increase in food prices, there were earthquakes also, but there was always a piece of the puzzle missing, you know, elements necessary for all the predicted disasters to come together. Some of the elements were not there, unlike today. Today we have all of those events all converging simultaneously like no other era. And so that's why we wrote the book and released it for publication.
It seems disclosure is something that has everybody kind of jittery these days. Have you noticed? Really, really huge revelations and research seems to be coming out like daily. Like the world's heating up, spinning faster. Like people are coming to realizations faster. And the rest of people, of course, are being dumbed down even faster.
Oh, yeah. Boy, let me say something else. You know, it's because of work from people like you. You know, and there are several other broadcasters out there that do this type of work also. But because of people like you and the work that you do, we are able to communicate to the masses to let them know what is really, truly going on. And that's why I'm so grateful and thankful for your work and what you do.
Well, we're not really able to communicate with the masses. We're able to communicate with a very small, determined minority that is intellectually capable of processing the things that we say. In my opinion, that's probably one of the most powerful groups in the planet. But they are by no means the masses.
Mm-hmm. Sure, but if we have enough people like you all doing their share, we can communicate to enough people. So thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, man. So let's get into these disasters themselves. You say you got seven. What's number one?
Oh, sure, absolutely. The first one is death by social violence. Now, death by social violence, you know, a lot of people will hear that and they'll think about your riots and, you know, a lot of suffering due to protests and things like that and upheaval. But the fact of the matter is that we've had that kind of social behavior for hundreds, even thousands of years. What's particularly different now than it was even before just 2010? Everything changed in 2011. If you remember, Vinny, last year, right around the beginning, I think it was like February or March, and then it went on for months, we've had these worldwide protests. Do you remember that?
Worldwide protests? Regards to what?
Yeah, people wanting social and economic change.
You mean you're talking about Occupy Wall Street?
Occupy Wall Street was a part of it, but then there was a small group called Anonymous. Now, Anonymous organized via Twitter and Facebook and text messaging and all that. These massive protests all over the world. Do you recall that?
No, not really.
Yeah. Well, here in America, we actually had some multiple television stations broadcasting from Moscow, London, parts of Europe, as well as parts in America, all about people demonstrating simultaneously around the world. What was incredible about this movement was their anthem. They had a theme, they had a logo, a mantra that they would continually repeat over and over and over in the news as well as YouTube. You can go to YouTube and look up Anonymous and you'll be able to hear their mantra, their slogan. Their slogan went something like this: "We are Legion. We do not forgive, and we do not forget." And it sounds a little eerie to most people because it just doesn't sound right. Well, for us, Bible scholars, Bible teachers, those of us who study the ancient Hebrew and Greek scriptures, we know what that means. You see, for decades, for, I would say, the last 40 to 50 years, scholars didn't know why a little bit of scripture appeared in the Bible. You see, in the book of Luke, there was a demon-possessed man that came face-to-face with a Christ. And the demon began to reveal his name to the Christ. And no one up until 2011 knew why the demon did that. The Christ didn't have any reason to know his name. In the book, in the scripture, it says that this demon represented himself to, and was known as by the name Legion. He says, "We are Legion." It was astonishing. Now, in the year 2011, this group that organized this worldwide protest via Twitter and social media claimed the same name. So it was much like in the time of Jesus, where you had this spiritual force, this spiritual name coming through the mouth of a human being. Now, all of a sudden, at that moment, many Bible scholars understood the reason why that name appears in the Bible. It was a warning sign. It is now warning us that this spiritual force is on the planet Earth, and it's now moving among nations, and that worldwide protest was simply a practice run for what's about to happen. That's what it was about. Okay. So that mystery, yeah, that 40-year-old mystery all of a sudden was revealed in 2011. And then when you read the book of Revelation, it depicts how the spiritual quality or the spiritual condition of peace is taken out of the earth and people act savagely in a worldwide protest. So the match is uncanny.
What's ironic is that the protesters weren't the ones who were acting savage and violent. It was the police.
Well, and you know, the book, actually there are multiple scriptures that actually depict that this spiritual quality or this condition of peace is removed and everyone acts savagely. Everyone. And so there will be some that will try to be law-abiding citizens, but that demonic force, you can just forget about, the rule of law and courtesy to others. I mean, people will act savagely, and unfortunately, the book of Revelation, as well as several other prophetic books, do describe a massive loss of life. And so I ask anyone within the sound of my voice to please take down notes and to start preparing as soon as possible, because we live in a time of history like no other. Go ahead, Vinny.
Mm. Well, this time of history, I believe, is like no other. But ironically, that makes it exactly the same as every other time through history, don't you think? Because every generation goes through some kind of challenge. Maybe every second generation, they either live in freedom, and maybe two generations down the path, when these children have grown up in a society where they don't really have to fight for anything, they don't have to work really hard, they become apathetic, and the society becomes a tyranny because, well, they don't know how to fight it, essentially. No generation has ever been more than two generations out of tyranny or freedom or anything. That's the lesson of history. And when we're talking about, say, large physical disasters, those are recorded throughout history as well. You know, I remember a Boxing Day tsunami, for example. It was huge. But incidentally, on the Boxing Day tsunami, they already had ships full of supplies, medical and food and otherwise, ready to come in and provide relief, doing a relief drill. And I see a lot of disasters around the world having this exact same pattern. Even the Christchurch quake, for instance, there were 1,000 New Zealand troops doing disaster relief drills in Christchurch on the day of the quake. How lucky was that?
Sure, yeah.
So when we talk about predictions, the ancient predictions, I think, I'm wondering, do the current Illuminati, satanic cult scumbags with all their classified technology and their knowledge of ancient wisdom, are they essentially just using it as a playbook so that they can fulfill the revelations themselves in order to make perhaps Christians in general stand down?
Partially. That's partially correct. You know, there's a lot of these ancient scriptures, they've been written, you know, 3,400 to 4,500 years ago, from the very beginning of the book of Genesis all the way down through the entire Old Testament, and more recently the last 2,000 years with the New Testament. Can they really know everything about the Bible the way, you know, a good student would know about the Bible by studying 8 to 10 hours a day in the Hebrew and the Greek? The answer is no. They can't. They can't know all the little intricate details throughout the ancient scripture. By the way, I personally study the ancient scriptures sometimes 8 to 10 hours a day in Hebrew and in Greek. And what I've come to find out, and with this is common with a lot of people that will study it for many, many hours like that on a very consistent basis, is they begin to find out that the Bible is actually a three-dimensional matrix of information. And unless you actually take the time out to put that kind of dedication, you really don't understand the Bible. It's very difficult to understand it unless you understand it as a three-dimensional prism, so to speak. So can they fulfill it because they read it and then they fulfill it? I think that's going to be very, very hard to do because of the number of predictions that are contained within that three-dimensional matrix. So from that point of view, you need to look at the Bible and think to yourself, well, wait a second. If they can only partially understand, but yet they're fulfilling it, where did the information come from? That's a tough question to answer, and really there's only one way to answer that. It must be supernatural. Now, are these people evil and demonic, and do they roam around the earth with, you know, a satanic force inside them? I believe so. I really believe so. In fact, even the Bible declares that. Even the Bible declares it. So, unfortunately, we are in an age where, like I said, social, political, economic, and even natural disasters and events are now lining up exactly as predicted. So I'm asking everyone, please begin to prepare now. Here's two examples that couldn't have been possible even 20 or 30 years ago, even, you know, 50 years ago, or just even, maybe even just 10 years ago. Actually, about 10 years ago, it was possible. Is genetic modification. In 2000, when scientists were able to catalog the entire DNA structure of a human being, when they were to catalog that, that's when everything changed. That was in the year 2000. That was about 12 years ago. Okay, go back 20, 30, 40 years. They were still doing experiments with genes, but not to the degree that we can do them today because of two reasons. One, we didn't have the genetic information and it wasn't cataloged. And two, because of powerful computers that have been miniaturized. Now, you take into account and you look at the genetically modified salmon, the genetically modified fish, the genetically modified animals, the genetically modified vegetables and fruits, and the genetically modified everything, where you've got animal genes inside fruits and vegetables, where you've got insect genes inside animals, or you've got animal genes, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Well, when you look at the book of Revelation, I've been through these classes. There is a very intriguing scripture in there that talks about these locusts with the tails of scorpions, and they sting people. And I'm telling you, I've taken every class you can think of. Most scholars teachers go through that, don't say a word about it, but you know what? Now we know what that is. Those are genetically modified insects, and those were designed to attack people. And you know what? We have them today. In fact, here in our own country, in Florida, there is a legal battle on whether or not we should release genetically modified mosquitoes into the population. Yeah. That's today.
Wasn't there also they wanted to engineer a mosquito that when it injects you with its thing, it kind of gives you a virus, like a vaccine sort of thing, in order to help your immunity? Like there's these Franken mosquitoes flying around and just vaccinate you. And how many, you know, and you don't know how many times the mosquito's going to bite you, or how many of his friends will come in the room as well. You know how some people in the jungle, that kind of thing, they go mad because they're being bitten on every part of their body. Imagine what we, strikes me is that in the deepest areas of research, when it comes to being a human being, some of the deepest projects and the most expensive ones are the craziest, like totally psychotic kind of thing. Like a sane man wouldn't want to do this, yet for some reason people are being paid to do it and they're accepting it. You know, it's just like, okay, we'll do it, man, give us the money.
Well, and guess what, I mean, you and I can laugh about it right now because it borders line on a sci-fi movie, like a movie story. It's bizarre.
Well, where do the movies get their ideas from?
Well, I don't know if the governments get it from the movies or if the movies get it from the government.
Well, I do know.
I don't know.
They do get it from the governments, like the military, for example. Department of Defense have Hollywood liaisons that they give scripts and ideas and things like that to these writers in Hollywood based on real secret government projects. Like even The Matrix, for example, was based on a 1950s declassified document that the Department of Defense had released, saying that they want to turn human beings into batteries and house them in these massive towers and in these little cocoon tanks where they would suck off the energy of them and keep them enslaved in a virtual reality world. You know, like that's that stuff they were thinking about doing in the 50s.
Well, you know, and you know what it comes down to is imagination and creativity. You know, we all have imagination and creativity and a tremendous amount of potential to create things for ourselves. Unfortunately, you know, we tend to use that creativity and that imagination many times for evil, for gain, for power, for control, for domination. And that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong.
Yeah, 100%. And we keep electing these people.
Well, and you can even go deeper than that. You can look at, you know, what do the election systems look like? Who's running all of that? What's the mechanism involved? Who are the people in charge of these mechanisms? How does the money flow? Who pays who? Who receives the money? Who's paying out the money? And then there's a whole other slew of questions involved with that.
Okay, so we've got predicted disaster number one. Have we approached number two yet?
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, absolutely. In fact, you know what? I was actually pointing out to you the genetic modification. One of the predicted disasters that is, I mean, it is all over the Bible. And it's unfortunately some of my fellow brothers and sisters who have not kept up with the times have not been able to see or understand what genetic modification is all about and how it actually appears in the Bible, starting from the book of Genesis. And then it works its way all the way through all the pages of the ancient scriptures, all the way into the book of Revelation. And then all of a sudden, you and I are standing here today in the year 2012, and then I can point to you news article after news article of genetically modified creatures. That's all I can call them. They're just creatures. They're man-made creatures, basically. And yet the Bible predicted it in advance. And then if you look at another predicted disaster, like death by giant earth movements, gigantic earth movements that cause volcanic eruptions, gigantic earthquakes to the point that millions of people will unfortunately perish if they don't prepare now. Now, when you look at both the scenario of genetic modification or genetic mutants roaming around the earth, by the way, on a side note, we are now, and when I say we, I mean us as a humanity, because many nations already possess the technology of gene sequencing and replication, we are now experimenting with humans. And from what I've been told, we've been doing this for decades. So we are actually altering human genes to make a better race. That's also called transhumanism, which is completely against what Scripture says. We are not to tamper with a human gene, but we're doing it today.
Transhumanism, I see personally as simply an extension of Nazi eugenics policy.
It's evil. It's evil from point A to point Z, period. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's pure evil.
No argument from me.
Oh, yeah, and it's all done under the guise of bettering humanity. Really? You're going to better humanity? I like to see that.
Have you noticed that every time they try and make something better, they mess it up worse than it ever was before, and they should have just left it alone, bro?
Yeah, actually, I notice that all the time. I mean, and a pure, perfect example of that is cancer-causing genetically modified fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables are known to cause cancer in rats. It's proven. In fact, even the French don't want to have genetically modified food imported into the country. Mexico banned genetically modified corn from ever infecting their crops. They want it out, and they are fighting tooth and nail to keep it out.
Yeah, so, and they're finding it difficult to fight the jet streams and the trade winds and things like that that bring all that genetically modified pollen over the border.
Well, and you know, if companies, you know, come out with this genetically modified, you know, corn or vegetables or fruit or whatever, and they say, you know, it's very resilient against some of the, you know, small enemies that will attack and eat the corn, like insects and bugs and these microbes and things like that. I'm thinking, if it can withstand the attack of small microbes and bugs, I don't think I want it in my body. I really don't. I want the natural thing that can be eaten by bugs and insects and microbes. I want that. I want the natural stuff. So you're right. Some of these people really think that they are God and they can make things better.
Well,
it's impossible.
What's hilarious is that people keep trying to pass more legislation to prevent this type of thing. It's like releasing experimental things into the environment without testing is already illegal. Making another law that they'll also break anyway ain't going to stop it from happening.
Mm-hmm.
Just enforce the current laws, you know? Mm-hmm. And if the huge fracking tax system laws and all of those things aren't good enough, aren't there just like a set few chunks of laws, like in the Bible and things like that, you know, don't mess with me, don't steal my stuff, don't be a scumbag and genetically modify things? I think that'd be quite a simple system, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, what we're dealing with is a tremendous amount of ego and self-centeredness and a desire for more power and control. And that basically what that does to the individual person is exalt them with a great deal of egotistical, a very egotistical self-image to have control and power over us, the smaller people. So unfortunately, it's already been predicted and pre-written. That's the way it's going to go. And unfortunately, all these elements are now coming together in a single, what I call is the perfect storm. It's triangulating to a crescendo where a cataclysmic era is about to be unleashed upon us.
And should we be afraid? Or should we be relieved? Yay, I don't have to pay taxes anymore. We're all going to die.
You know, this is one of the reasons why I kept quiet for almost 2 weeks. And you might hear my voice a little bit. It, you know, and what's in my heart is probably reflecting in my voice. Unfortunately, the Bible states very clearly that there will be a tremendous loss of life. There will be 2/3 of mankind. I'm sorry, 30% of all mankind will perish.
How much percent?
1/3 of all humans will perish.
Well, the New World Order eugenicists who want a 90 to 99% perishment aren't going to be happy about that.
Well, you know, but, you know, and I know that we're very limited on time here, so it's difficult for me to cover a lot of ground. This event will take place between China and the Middle East, and it's predicted, and unfortunately, the Bible in this predicted disaster very specifically states that there will be, with a capital W, capital I, capital L, capital L, there will be a military force moving from China toward the Middle East, and as it moves from toward the Middle East, it will wipe out one-third of humanity within that area. Okay? If you look up on Wikipedia today, and you look up the Chinese army, you will see that the Chinese are able to call up 700 million men into their army. This predicted disaster can be fulfilled right now. Unbelievable. Now, here's something to take note of, and I'm begging every listener to please prepare immediately. I don't care what country you live in, because it will affect every single person on the planet Earth. When have you ever known the U.S. not to intervene? Unless, of course, there's a hidden agenda somewhere. But usually the U.S. will intervene militarily anywhere that they see is, you know, a just, you know, quote-unquote, a just cause. The Bible predicts that the U.S. will not intervene.
You know what's interesting? I don't think that the U.S. ever finds just cause before they invade people. They just invade them just cause.
Well, there is a lot of things happening behind the scenes that is not spoken in the mainstream media that unfortunately falls under the pattern of evil mindsets. Okay, so unfortunately, this is the route that we as humanity have taken, and unfortunately, now all these predicted disasters, these events are now unfolding, unpacking, and revealing themselves. Simultaneously, I'm here to sound the warning bells. In this predicted disaster, death by warfare, one-third of all people will perish. Unfortunately, the U.S. is nowhere near this. The thought is, and if there's signs of it throughout the ancient scriptures, that the U.S. may, we don't know for sure because we're talking about the future, may undergo a massive attack. So massive, nuclear attack that is, so massive that it literally wipes out our military capability. In fact, what really startled us, my little research team here, when we were doing analyzing this three-dimensional matrix of the Hebrew and Greek scriptures, is that both China and Russia are frantically, listen to me please folks, are frantically spending billions and billions and billions of dollars in creating these underground bunkers. They are also building massive, in the thousands, of nuclear warheads, in the thousands. From what I understand too, is that China is also developing tens of thousands of smaller, cheaper missiles. Now, if you can you imagine sending 10,000 cheap missiles through the air over the U.S.? Can we defend against 10,000 missiles? And then what if you were to embed, say, 1,000 nuclear warheads within those 10,000? There's no way this country could survive that. There isn't. This country would literally be incapacitated in a matter of hours. It would be over. It would be over. That would give China the ability to conquer that entire region at will without any interference from the U.S., without resistance. And it's unfortunate.
Apparently, according to Steve Quayle, there's already Chinese supplies and things of that nature being stockpiled in Canada in preparation for an invasion, he claims, of the United States farmland high country kind of thing. It's up in the mountainous regions, the Great Plains, all of that sort of stuff. It's basically the best growing area of the country, and it's so highly elevated as to allegedly protect them from giant tsunamis. And it'll be the last remaining major food belt to go, and there's going to be a big war over it, he thinks.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a lot of public information out there that's available worldwide, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't put all the dots together. And that's why I believe the information we're putting out now, I mean, this book is only about about a month old, and it's already hit the top 100 at Amazon. It really puts all the information together. And it's unfortunate that I see a lot of people either laugh, or they ignore us, or they prepare. And I see, you know, the best route or the best way to think about this information is with prudence. Because, you see, one thing is that I can tell you, prepare for this or prepare for that, but it's a completely different thing when I tell you, look, all right, almost 4,000 years ago, there were about, between 4,000 and about 2,000 years ago, there were 2,500 predictions, okay? 2,000 of them came true. I personally investigated 34 of these in minute detail. And I was astounded at the accuracy of these predictions. And then I went in with my little team of people here at our office, and then we reviewed the future 500 predictions. And then what would it take for all those predictions to come true? And then we discovered that all the elements for those future 500 predictions to come true are now unfolding exactly as predicted, not like in the 90s, not like in the 80s, not like in the 70s, not like in the 60s or 50s or 30s. No, unlike any other time in history, they're converging together right now. We put together a little news report once a month, and it's now to the point where we actually show, like, for example, you know, these are the current events, these are the major predicted disasters, you need to prepare for these things. What's happening is that all these events that are leading up to these seven predicted disasters are now accelerating. They are accelerating at an incredible pace. We've never seen this. Because, you see, I've done prophecy studies many, many years, and I've touched on some of these. And it was hard for me to find some of these events that I can actually trace toward a future prophecy, but not anymore. I could literally turn on my computer and then read all the reports that I receive on my desk every single day. I get something between 60 and 70 every single day. And I'm astonished. There isn't a single day that I can go, I would say, I would receive from those individual reports, I would probably receive maybe 400 to 500, you know, little, you know, tiny little links to all these news news organizations and also news reports. I would say that within one day, I can probably get 20 or 30 matches to these predicted disasters per day. It's astonishing. It's amazing. So when you put it all together, you really feel like there is a gigantic storm approaching us at an incredible speed. In fact, you know what? Remember we were talking about the genetic mutants? That's another predicted disaster, death by genetic mutation.
What about hype, like predictive programming, like the mainstream media puts all this stuff out so that because they want people to know what they're going to do well ahead of time, and they repeat it to them often enough before they do it. There's some kind of occult ritual going on here.
No, that's called fear. You see, whenever you implant fear inside the human heart, there's a lot of things that begin to happen within that person. The brain begins to change. That's the first thing. It's fight or flight for that brain. The brain becomes more susceptible to moving toward a state of protection. And, of course, you know where that leads. That leads masses of groups of people moving toward the protection of the big government. And that's not always good, as we know. Then the other thing that begins to happen is stress. When a person fears, they become stressed. And when they become stressed, they become more vulnerable to sickness and diseases. that's not good either. Not good at all. For those of us who are Christians, we place our love, we place our understanding, our confidence on a God that's far more superior than humanity will ever be. And so we tend to have that peace that is very eternal and long-lasting. And so we understand, yeah, evil people will come and go, but you know what? My soul is eternal. The love of my God and my heart is also eternal. Therefore, I live eternally in my God. So I can walk in peace. They can take my hands, my arms, my body, but I live with my God forever. They will never take my soul. You got me preaching now.
Well, see, this is another thing. It's hard to defeat and discourage people like that, which is, I believe, why in the modern world, Christianity is being persecuted to no end. It's being viewed as kind of like a joke. There's all this scandal and all of that kind of stuff. And also, more to the point, most Christians aren't actually real Christians. They're what I call hypocristians.
Yeah, I know. I'm saddened. You know, I've traveled through South America multiple times, especially back in the 70s and 80s. That's when I had a lot of travel time in South America. During those times, it's a little different now. I was there just a few years ago. During those times, those areas were more like third world countries, and Christianity was about love. It was about sacrifice. It was about understanding the word. But now it's
put out as being, I hate Muslims and I hate gays and we should exterminate everybody.
Well, and not just that, but then you fly over here and it's, you know, I got the car, I got the boat, I got the house, I'm blessed. Really? Really? I don't see God with a house and a boat and a car, you know?
What did God do? You know, create your boat and your house and your car in 7 days and then just on the sixth day he gave it to you so you didn't have to do anything with your life?
Yeah, and then meanwhile, there is a child dying of starvation every 25 seconds. Really? Yeah. Every 25 seconds, a child dies of starvation. It breaks my heart. I cry. I weep sometimes at night at the thought of a child dying every 25 seconds. Of course, our ministry steps in and tries to help out as many kids as we possibly can, even to the point sometimes where our budget is in the negative. But you know what? I just don't care.
Did you ever hear the joke about Bono, the lead singer of U2? He gets up on stage and he starts clapping his hands.
Yeah.
And he said, each time I've been clapping my hands, a child in Africa has died of starvation or preventable diseases. And then some guy yells out from the crowd, then stop clapping, you bastard!
I haven't heard that one. I haven't heard that one, but thanks for sharing.
Hope you enjoy that. I came up with another lame joke today as well. What do you call an Italian bodybuilder?
An Italian bodybuilder. I haven't heard this one either, Vinny. Enlighten me, please.
Mussolini.
Oh, I should have seen that one coming. I should have seen that one coming. You're not Italian, are you?
Hey, come on. You know, in a world so full of chaos and madness, you've got to keep your sense of humor. And come up with some, you know, absolutely. I don't know. That's what's really different between me and other radio show hosts. Like they don't do lame puns on air like I do.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the way we, you know, the way we take all of this information, look, these people are going to do what they're going to do. The predicted disasters are going to come no matter what, right? But you know what? We cannot lose ourselves in these things. We can't. Because if we do, we lose our soul. And we don't want that. So, yes, we prepare. Yes, we're ready. Yes, all of this. But you know what? We still have love. We still have our families. We still also have our sense of joy and sense of humor. So we still have to live life. And we have to live it to the fullest and to the best. It's not good to live always in pain and in suffering and worries and all that. It just isn't. But it is good to be wise and to prepare. And then you can move on with life.
Well,
absolutely.
So let's wrap up. We've got about another 5-7 minutes here. What do you think you people should do to prepare? It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, by the way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. In fact, we go over this in the book. There, right at the end of each chapter, we actually have a few little key, survival keys, and many of them are recurring. So let me go over some of these. First and foremost, of course, food and water. Folks, please, if you're within the sound of my voice, start preparing. Start getting some extra food, some extra water. Put it away. Particularly food that's dry, dry, that can be rehydrated later. Cans of food as well. Water. Consider also a 3-day bug-out bag that you can put on your back, and if for some reason there is no transportation, you have to walk or take a bicycle, you can put it on your back and just go and at least be able to survive for 3 days until you reach a destination. Learn also self-defense tactics. That's a very prudent thing to do. Think also about maybe alternative transportation. Think about those types of things. Also, learn about bartering. Here in the near future, there are going to be maybe times where you may have to barter. It's better to learn now. There's many, many websites that teach that. Also, another really important technique or thing that we always do talk about is also alternate currencies. Eventually, an alternate currency will not be worth much, like gold and silver, but until things get really bad, gold and silver will actually help you out. It might even save your life, even small amounts. I mean, silver is what, at $34, I think, right now, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's something like that per ounce. There's a few others, and really what I want to talk about is the spiritual preparation. Stay close to your loved ones. Pray. Love one another. Love is a very, very powerful thing. It's a very healing thing, and love also brings a lot of peace into a person's life. So if you can love and pray together, it doesn't matter what happens in the future. Because you know that ultimately you will be reunited with your loved ones in the kingdom of heaven. Love each other. That's really about it. Thank you, Vinny.
All right. Well, in other words, it's certainty of faith, essentially. That seems to be one of the most powerful things that keeps people alive, really. This was found to be of great notice during the Vietnam War, when prisoner of war camps with American soldiers inside, they had a look at the death rates inside the prisoner of war camps of those who were atheists and those who were very strong spiritual Christians. Mm-hmm. The Christians lived.
Really? I didn't know that.
Because
I did not know
that. When the atheist was locked away in that room, no hope of rescue, that was all that was there for him. When a Christian is locked away in a room with no hope of rescue, he's still got hope. And God's still there with him the whole time.
Yeah. Well, it's called faith, my friend. Faith will get you through the worst times. I mean, I had a talk a little while back, and one of the things I pointed out, look, I've actually met expert survivalists who say, I made one little mistake, it could have cost me my life. That's correct. You can be as prepared as you want, but you make one little mistake, it can cost your life. But you know what? A person of faith with a type of a supernatural providence from God can survive even the worst catastrophes. Mm. So I speak a lot about faith, and I'm glad that you pointed that out.
Yeah. Well, you got to have faith in something bigger than you that's eternal. And you also have to have faith in yourself, and you also have to have faith in your loved ones, people around you, that will do the right thing. Not necessarily because, oh, there's absolutely a God, or there's absolutely my supreme ability, or there's absolutely everybody around me is a good person, they'll do all the right thing. Not necessarily because that may or may not be the case. It's just because the alternative to having faith is having hopelessness, which is in no way beneficial for anybody. You know, can you name me one hopeless person who's having a real happy life?
You know what? I tried to count on my finger, and I couldn't count them.
You know, it's pretty straightforward, I would have thought.
Yeah, exactly. A person of faith is typically a person of strength. Like I mentioned to you earlier, the way I feel, they can take my house, they can take my car, they can take my accounts, they can take my body, they can take everything about me, but they can't take my faith. They can't take that away from me.
And they can't take the way you wear your hat away from you either.
I know what my future is, and I am absolutely positively elated about where my future is going.
Yeah, me too. Right. Jeff Ordonez, 7predictedDisasters.com, author, researcher, and Bible teacher, man of faith. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Vinny. God bless you.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Bye-bye.